across the hall up the more shallow flight of stairs pointing that way. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open Big Book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we're discussing step three, which is made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And I'd love if you guys would help me welcome our panel. We have Michelle and Alex. So how this will work is I will read the first paragraph, which tonight is on page 60. And then our panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. So page 60. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. And tonight we're going to start with Alex.
Hi, I'm Alex and I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is June 5th, 2013. And I have a home group. We are the Big Book Topic Group in Hampton, and we meet on Wednesdays at 7. So step three for me is a pretty special step, and it also is something that I have to continue to work on every day, not just from the first time that I got into the Big Book with my first sponsor, or my second, or third. This is a daily affair for me, but I remember having gone through this part and not fully grasping, like, making a decision. You know, what was kind of explained to me was that I just needed to have some willingness to continue forward on to step four and the rest of them. But I love A, B, and C because, I mean, that's exactly what it is. It took me a while to realize that, one, I was an alcoholic. I mean, I knew I was an alcoholic when I came into AA and was willing to do something different, but it didn't really set in and feel genuine until I was, like, about 6 months sober. And it hit me really hard. I was like in a meeting, my regular meeting. I don't even know what we were talking about. But when I said, I'm Alex and I'm an alcoholic, it like really it really meant something. It was really true. And it just took that much time for me. The other thing is that I couldn't manage my own life. And the experience that I had early on, and this question still, I mean, I ask my sponsees and I get asked myself as well, is how is my life unmanageable even today? You know, like once I got sober and we were sitting down talking about our drinking and that looked obviously unmanageable for me. I had consequences that were extreme, like going to jail and getting DUIs and having to pay for lawyers and ASAP and all that stuff. So on the outside, there was an apparent, it looked like this girl has clearly got a problem with alcohol. And the inside is what we're talking about once I'm not drinking and how I can still not manage my own life. So when I get to step three, I think the biggest thing for me was just to trust in something other than myself. And it's really hard to explain that. I mean, early on, like I said before, it was just trusting that my sponsor asked me to meet up with her on this day and this time, and I showed up, and then we did whatever we were directed to do in the book, and then we had conversations about our drinking and our experiences. That's what it looked like. That's what it looked like for me early on, was just trusting that power that I never had when I was drinking with another human being. I was always trying to cover up who I really was. I really didn't have an honest idea about what a relationship with God looked like. The doors opened for that with meeting up with someone that had gone through this before me. I think that's all I have to share about that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. All right. Hi, everyone. Michelle, alcoholic.
Hey, Michelle.
My sobriety date is November 1st, 2016. My home group is Shoulder to Shoulder out in Yorktown. So my experience with step three is a lot like Alex's. You know, I do this every day. I have to remind myself to turn my will over to God every day. And, you know, honestly, since this is an honest program, it's hard. It's hard to do that. And I have to remind myself to spend that time in meditation and prayer every day. Do I? No, I don't. And then I feel like I want to take over again. And when I step into meetings, I am reminded that I need to let him run the show again and not me. Earlier on, I didn't know that I was an alcoholic. It took me a long, long time to admit that out in the open. And the first time I admitted that I said my name and I was an alcoholic, I was in treatment. And that was really hard, but it was freeing at the same time. I always thought that I just abused alcohol. Because I was raised to just be a party animal. I was raised as Good Time Charlene, and I didn't know any better. And so when I moved on to my second sponsor, a lot with Alex, we would meet and we would talk about our day-to-day life and share how my life used to be growing up and stuff. And, you know, for a long time, my sponsor, we didn't really work the steps. And I was like, I want to work these steps already. You know, let's get this going. And she was not, she just wanted me to, I think, get some time under my belt. And that was after I got out of treatment. So, you know, growing up, I have always believed in God. And then, of course, like in my drinking career, I think, you know, God is like, oh God, please get me through this day. And then coming into the rooms, it's knowing what that relationship is all about. And I now know that through that prayer and meditation, I am learning more about that relationship and what he has to offer me. And I guess that's it for now.
Alrighty, we're going to stay on page 60 for the next reading. Being convinced we were at step 3, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him. Just what do we mean by that, and just what do we do? The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. Most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show, is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as he wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, our actor may sometimes be quite virtuous. He may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. But as with most humans, he is more likely to have varied traits.
All right. So, I like how this is very self-explanatory. I think what I got caught up on early on, and I hear that other people do as well, is the whole turning our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood him. And, you know, what does that mean? And I had many people in Alcoholics Anonymous, including my sponsor, explain to me that that is my actions and my thoughts. And I can understand that pretty well. So even today, all the time, I have to be reminded by my sponsor to ask for help in that area, especially turning my thoughts over to someone that I can be helpful to, or to just, I often have to tell my mind to shut the hell up because it just goes crazy. And, you know, that's just sometimes where I get to be. But, you know, I had to be thoroughly convinced, and I still have to be thoroughly convinced that anything that I'm doing and I'm running my own life on self-will is not going to be successful. And what tool that's really helped me with that is playing the tape through. That was like such a simple idea early on, but that still helps me today. Whenever I think of doing something, I remember my first sponsor telling me, like, check your motives. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. And, like, you know, it's helpful for me, my whole crazy thought process, you know, like before I make a decision or take an action, you know, why am I really doing that? what am I trying to get out of it? You know, just like you explained, like, I'm the actor trying to run the show, and I usually want something out of something, and I usually step on people's toes, or my feelings get hurt because something doesn't turn out that way. I just remember, especially when I'm not connected or open to taking direction, even though I'm afraid that I don't know what the outcome is gonna be. I remember just going in like this crazy emotional place and just feeling a lot of fear around that. And so I'm reminded to ask, like, I can ask God's help with anything that I'm going through. And I forget that. I forget that very easily. But another thing that popped out in my head when we were reading this is, ever since I was young and then drinking and stuff like that, I mean, I did some really messed up stuff, you know, like, I mean, I would get wasted. I was a blackout drinker, so I don't remember a lot of things. And a lot of my drinking was in college and was my early 20s, because I got sober when I was 24. So, you know, I did not make good decisions. And I remember always thinking to myself that I was such a nice, modest young woman, and like, I would pretend to be that way in so many situations, and then I would get drunk, and then just all that stuff went out the window. Like, who cares? I'm gonna do whatever I want. And then I would just chalk it up to, well, I was drunk, you know? I mean, these are the crazy things that I try to dress myself up to make myself feel okay about how I was living, until the next morning when I woke up and I felt like an enormous amount of shame and guilt. And for me, it was really important to go through these things and have those conversations about my dishonesty and selfishness and how my ego can totally take over any situation, and how I can just live like that and think that's normal. So that's all I have to share.
Thanks, Alex. For me on this one, self will run riot. I was a blackout drinker as well. And, you know, as soon as, you know, we talk about unmanageability, you know, I felt like my life was manageable. I felt like, yeah, I woke up in the morning, I got my kids out the door, cooked dinner, did all the laundry and stuff like that, but I rewarded myself. And, you know, by 5 o'clock in the evening, I was in a blackout. So, you know, now, you know, I do have to watch, and today I have to, you know, press that pause button and think through my decisions. And, you know, a lot of times I like to talk out my situations and my problems with people in the program and my sponsor, and you know, and journaling and using all the tools that I know, but I know that I need to you know, go to God, and I do that. But then also, you know, it's funny because I told my sponsee this the other day. I was like, get in the rooms, you'll find the answer. God speaks through the people in the rooms, and you'll get your answer there, I promise you. And it's just, it's so weird how that happens. And yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
Thanks. All right, moving on to page 62. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, We step on the toes of our fellows, and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of the selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. And there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help.
So one of the biggest things that I think attracted me to Alcoholics Anonymous and just the sober alcoholic that had I can see people that have spiritual connection. I mean, it's really amazing. And then when you stay around, you get to know people. There's just something about that, and I could see that with the first sponsor that I picked, or that I asked. And she always shared about having a reliance on God, a reliance on something that wasn't herself and wasn't other people. And I realized through my drinking and even just growing up, I was taught, first of all, that I rely on myself. I need to learn how to do things to take care of myself. And that's how a lot of things worked. I mean, I was a teenager. I was getting my license. I had my license. And I remember my stepdad taking me out, and he taught me how to change my tire. And I was like all, you know, self-sufficient. And I like did it like 3 times. He was like, you're going to do this until you get it right. And so like, I mean, that's just a small example of like what my life was looking like, you know. You got to figure it out. You got to do it on your own. And I remember the first time that I got a flat tire, I was just driving home and I was like so proud because I was like, I'm gonna do this thing. I'm gonna change this tire. And I did. And this man had walked out and was like, hey, do you need help? I was like, no, I got it. Thank you. And I did it. And I just, you know, I felt so great. But like, little did I know, I mean, I couldn't ask for help. I couldn't be vulnerable to situations. And as I grew up and became introverted, and I went to alcohol for my solutions because it worked. It made me feel okay, and it did a really damn good job with erasing whatever insecurities I had about myself or whatever was weighing heavy on my heart and my mind at the time. You know, it was a great solution. And so God was not a part of my ideas 100% until things got really bad. And then I became the drunk that would ask God for help when I, you know, went through waking up and then not knowing how I got home and then, you know, like all those things. For me, that's what it looked like. My life being ran on self-will. Also, in sobriety, that happens as well. You know, I've been sober and I got to like graduate college and, you know, been doing some things and you know, I had this whole idea of like what my future was going to look like. Like I was supposed to, I went to school to be a teacher, and I was like, this is what I'm going to do. And I finally graduated in 2016, and it is not what I was going to do. I tried to finish school, and there was just a lot of things that happened that were like not lining up to Alex's will. And so what do? Like, I'm retaliating. I got really frustrated. I was very questioning God, like, why wouldn't you want me to be a teacher? Like, why don't you want me to do these things that I think are good? And it was a really big struggle. But now, letting that kind of be what it is, and to be just grateful that I was able to finish college and get a degree, and then practice like being in what I'm doing today, and the job that I am being of service in, like that has been a really big gift for me. And I don't know the future. That's probably the point that I'm getting to, is like, I don't know what the plan is for that, but I think just from this experience so far is that I don't have a lot of control in that in a lot of areas in my life, and so it doesn't mean that I give up on things, but I am letting myself be directed by something that's bigger than me, and it's scary because I don't know what's going to happen, but. Today I'm being taken care of, so I guess that's all that matters. And that's all I have.
Thanks, Alex. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to a friend about this today, how I feel like, you know, alcoholics have had to always fend for themselves. And we've had to take care of ourselves and figure things out on ourselves and for ourselves. And, you know, when I was, I grew up with two older brothers and my dad. And so I was kind of like you. You know, I had to, like, figure things out on my own. And, you know, I was left my senior year with this great big house, and my family moved away, and I was there all by myself. And to just finish up my school year, but I did it, but you know, it was just like, I had to figure it out. I had to figure everything out on my own, and I feel like with everything else, and I'd never asked for help before I came into the rooms. And you know, the thing is, when I went, when I decided to go into treatment, that was a huge, huge step for me, because I tried all the other avenues, which we all know of, you know, psychiatric help, all these other paths that we try to quit drinking, and it just doesn't work. And I finally was like, I need help. I need help with this. I can't do it on my own. I've tried. And, you know, and I wanted that to be something for my kids to look up to as well. You know, it's okay to ask for help if you're in trouble. It's okay if you feel like you have no control over something. Ask for help. And I wanted them to know that I needed help with alcohol. And we later had that conversation after I got home. At first, they only knew that I was going to treatment to be a better mom, which I am now a better mom. But you know, I'm okay with telling them that alcohol makes me a bad mom. And you know, and now in my life today, you know, now that I don't have to worry about, you know, what's next in my life. You know, I'm married to an active duty Air Force, great guy. And, you know, And at this time of year, when we're here, you know, we get to move every 2 to 3 years. And at this time, I'm always freaking out. You know, I'm always like, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? You know, I'm getting antsy. And it was so different this time because I'm like, you know, I don't know. You know, he has our back. He's going to, you know, he has a plan. It's not my plan. It's his plan. And you know, whatever's going to happen, I will be okay. The kids will be okay. I will be okay. And I know that he has decided that I'm going to stay here and where my great recovery is. And, you know, and I will be okay because I have God's help. So.
All right. Staying on page 62 near the bottom. This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father, and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arc through which we passed to freedom.
So let's see. Okay. What I really like about this section in the book is it talks about I don't have the power to do much of any changing within myself. And I believe that my higher power, God, does that for me. That doesn't mean that I just do whatever I want, I act however I want, and I don't learn from experiences. But there are certain things within myself that I just cannot change. And you know, like it says, self-centeredness is something that I can't do on my own. You know, I, just like my drinking, I tried to find and figure out, like, whenever I hear that, figure out, I hear myself, because I have said that many times, but I tried to, you know, stop. I tried to stop drinking. I tried to regulate. I tried to, you know, change how much I drank, when I drank. It's really funny. As part of one of my service commitments, I take meetings into the Hampton City Jail, and my favorite alcoholic in the meeting is always like, you know, I just need to like figure out how to have like a case of beer and not buy the liquor, you know. And I just like, it's just hilarious. I'm like, that's great. I hope you can do that, you know. You know, that's what I'm always trying to do. I'm always trying to figure out my life and how to be a better person. And that doesn't allow me to just let God work through me and have the experience that I'm supposed to have every day. And that doesn't mean that I'm, you know, gonna be, I don't know, like the best version of Alex all the time. Because I know from the experience that I've had so far of trusting the process that AA has in this book is that I'm not going to look pretty and I'm not going to feel good doing this whole thing. I was just talking to somebody about this today and was like, I'm just feeling so uncomfortable, you know, and I really believe that's the whole deal to this thing, is that I get to stay sober, but I get to feel uncomfortable a lot. And I just hear my a woman that I used to work with say, like, Alex, it's all about getting uncomfortable, or getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. Like, and that's just so true for me. But I have to constantly be reminded about this. And this, for me, this paragraph that we just read about God being our director and the principal, and the father and the employer. Money, man, money is the root of my evils today. And I have so many conversations with my sponsor about the struggle within that's life, at least for me. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, in my job, you know, and the places that I have to be. And so the question that is always asked to me is, Alex, who's your employer? And I'll be like, Gretchen and Lindsay. And she's like, no. God, right? God is my employer. And so whenever I'm getting to that point where I just feel like I'm trying to manage everything, or I'm trying to figure out, or I'm, you know, and then my head's exploding, that's the question that I'm always asked. Again, it always comes down to God. And you know, for me today, just that question is so much freedom. It's able to keep me back down here with everyone else and to be like, oh, that's right. You know, I'm gonna be okay. And I really am. I've gone through so many things where like I'd be worrying about something, and it just shows up. You know, the money shows up somewhere. I get the extra client that just walks in the door. You know, I make a connection with someone, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I'd love to get that color done." You know, and then there I go. I make a new friend, a new client, and then I have money to pay my bills. And then the other thing that I get reminded on is, it's not my money. You know, the money that I do get in is gonna go to other things. It's this whole idea that I have that in my head that I own things, or things are mine to have forever, and they're not. You know, like if I'm really relying on God, if I really trust this whole day-to-day, one day at a time thing, then I'm gonna let these little things go, and I'm just gonna keep putting one foot in front of the other. And that takes a lot of practice. I mean, I am always struggling with these parts and sobriety of just life things. But it just always comes down to, you know, God is the director, and I'm not. and it is the freedom and getting to that place feels a lot like an early, you know, like I remember in early sobriety, I was in drug court, I was doing a lot of things, it was very stressful, whatever. I didn't drive, I had to ride the bus, and it was like all this stuff. And I remember like going throughout this whole day, and then finally you get to an AA meeting, and then there's that relief. Like, these are all my people. This is, you know, and that's how it feels like the end of the day, and I realize that God is everything, and I am, you know, just another drunk on the bus. Like, all right, like that relief. You know, thanks. That's all I got to share.
So my sponsor always says to me, "The best is yet to come," and you know, I just picked up 18 months on the 1st of May, and my life is so full of so many great things. Like, I am so busy doing just great things. And, you know, I think a year and a half ago, I was like Netflixing it on the couch because I felt like crap, you know? And the things that God has brought to my life are wonderful gifts. And, you know, I say to her all the time, I'm like, I am so busy, and I don't know what I'm doing, but it's like just, it's doing things for people that I love to do. And I've been blessed with, you know, crazy stuff that I think about. Like, I came across this you know, combining yoga with 12 steps and helping people use that as another coping skill. And that is what I love to do. And that kind of stuff, I was like, that's for me. That's for me. You know, I know about the 12 steps. I know about yoga. I mean, and I felt like that was a gift from God at that point. And, you know, but there's also that thing where it's like, you know, the managing part of all of these things, you know, your family, your job, your other things is also a big thing for me. So I also have to remember to take a step back and think about, you know, what's important and all these things. But I'm very happy where I am today.
Thank you, guys. Moving on to page 63, second paragraph. We were now at step 3. Many of us said to our Maker, as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him.
So I, when we began talking about the idea of relationship with the higher power, I've always, when I was little, I used to have an imaginary friend. And I used to, which maybe it's, I don't used to, I still talk to myself, like out loud, especially when people aren't around. And what's funny is one of my coworkers does that all the time, but like people are around. And so she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just talking to myself. But I've always had, you know, a feeling of not being completely like alone. And I honestly don't, I mean, I've felt alone and depressed and sad, but if I'm really honest with myself, there's been something there within me. I don't think that I ever got to a point where I was stripped of that. And I think if I had, I was denying that. And I remember sitting down and she's like, make a list of characteristics that you think your higher power would have, things that you would want for yourself and other people. And these were things that I had seen in other people, things that I admired, you know, and it lists that, like love, the power to think of others, to be kind, to have a tolerance. And one big thing for me, at least this year, the idea of unconditional love. I recently, well, it'll be a year in July, lost my grandmother, and she was just my person. I don't know. She was, she had unconditional love for me. And I'm not to say that like my parents don't, but it was just such a different relationship. And like I can remember back, so every single moment she was a part of in my life. And so I made this list of all of these characteristics, and that was the start. You know, I could believe in a list like that, and I think I always did have a personal belief that like a higher power really wants that for me. You know, and as I've stayed in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I've continued forward to do an inventory and like get some of that scary shit on paper and talk about that one big thing that I wasn't gonna ever tell anyone, I realized that I am just another human being like the rest of us. And I had the experience that my sponsor shared with me that was about the same thing or even worse. And I was like, wow, I guess I'm not, like my life was not that bad. My experience wasn't that bad. Or, you know, we could connect in that feeling of awkwardness and shame, you know, because that's what I felt about myself. But I really believe after having taken that step is that nothing happened to me. You know, I didn't get punished. And I might not have felt great after it. There's a lot of crying and sadness and, you know, embarrassment. And then once it was over, and time had passed, I felt, you know, I just felt like, okay, like done. This is done. And, you know, as it continues, like this whole just trusting the process is not as excruciating as it was in the beginning. It definitely can be, though. But I think one of the things that this prayer is just, it's kind of means a lot in the way of like getting out of myself, you know, and asking for God's help, because that's usually what my goal is on a daily basis, is to get out of Alex's world and get into the world with everyone else. And I think that's the biggest thing that my grandmother showed me was she was very much a part of all of our lives. And, you know, even though we didn't agree on a lot of things, like, there was still that love and connection. And, you know, today it's such a hard thing for me to understand. Like, man, there's just so many opportunities for her to just hate my guts. Like, I did some really screwed up things to that woman, and I showed my ass so many times, and like it just didn't matter. And I feel like that's, for me, like that's an example of what God's love for me is. Like, I show my ass, I, you know, whatever, like nothing is hidden, and I'm still capable of being able to have some peace and serenity despite, you know, whatever things that I'm going through. And I mean, for me, that's been the biggest gift in this whole process. It's not what I get outside in the world. Like, God shows me these things through signs and experiences, but like I've been able to have a feeling of peace and serenity even when things are hitting the fan or I don't know what the next thing is gonna be. This prayer is just very helpful, especially in, you know, just taking that moment to get out of myself again. Thanks.
Thank you, Alex.
Well, I can't top that, so don't hear me. Okay, so, you know, I said this prayer many, 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 many times. Well, and I think that God tried to get me in these rooms a long time ago, and I just didn't listen. And that's when I tried other avenues, and he's like, well, that one didn't work. That one didn't work either, Michelle. And that one didn't work. And, you know, now... now that I'm here and listening, I say this prayer, and you know, because I've learned to trust him, and I've learned that, you know, this is what he was telling me a long time ago, And I knew that he had a plan for me, and I know that he has more in store for me. So by doing this and saying this prayer, I am giving myself to him every single day, all of me, and allowing him to do what he wants with me. And I need that every day because I try to rearrange everybody and everything in my life. And, you know, I have to say this a lot, and I also have to say the Serenity Prayer almost every day, 3 times a day, to give me serenity, you know, over my children especially. Yeah, in fact, I said that today. That's all I have.
Thank you. Our final reading is at the bottom of page 63. We're running a little short on time, so if you guys want to just say a couple things and we'll wrap. So, next we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning.
Just like in every inventory situation, I really don't think too much about it. I mean, I trust God, but I know that for me, because I have been that person to sit on an inventory for like 3-4 months, that it's painful. It's painful, and I stay sick and uncomfortable and angry, and being in that position where I'm pointing the finger, but three are back at me, it just prolongs myself from actually getting honest with myself about myself. And that's really what this whole deal is about. And then it becomes about, you know, going into making amends to righting the wrongs. You know, my first experience was like, this was just, I'm going to say this prayer and then we're going to keep going. And now, after practicing it a while, like, there's a lot more meaning to the prayer. There's a lot more meaning to asking for God's help. But that didn't happen overnight, just like everything else didn't happen overnight, you know. It was more just like I'm sick and suffering, and I need to get the stuff out, the house cleaning, so to say. So, yeah, that's all I have.
For me, I think step four was, I think at that point, you know, I had that list of, I'm going to take this list to the grave with me, and then this list of, okay, I'm going to share this list with my sponsor. And I'm driving over there to my sponsor's house to do my step five, and something was like not feeling right with me. And I was like, what is that? What, I'm feeling like weird. And I go up to the door and I just make a split decision. I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna tell her everything. I mean, I gotta do this. If I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do it all. I'm gonna do this all right now, and hopefully she'll share something with me that she did. I don't know, you know, so I was just like, I'm gonna do it. And I did. I shared everything with her, and she just looked at me. She was all silent and everything, and I'm like, don't you have anything to say? And she didn't. So I know. But it was a relief because, you know, I wanted to, just like I said earlier, I had no idea what the steps, when I came into treatment, I didn't know what these steps meant. I had no idea. I was so naive to AA, and what the steps could give me. And I just put one foot in front of the other. I did what I was told exactly the way I did, the exact way I was told to do them. And it's helped me in my life so much. It's taught me who Michelle is, because I never knew who I was. I never knew the things that I loved, the things that I can't control, the things that I can control, the things that, you know, the things I'm powerless. What do you mean? That kind of stuff. I never knew this. I'm learning so much about myself through this process. And by doing that step four, it really opened a lot of doors for me. And and the rest of it is just, it's maintenance. But, you know, I was listening to this thing that a lot of people think that doing the steps is a one-time deal. Like, you only do the steps and then you're done. And but it's not. It's like you're continually doing the steps all the time. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that until just recently either. So it's a learning process. So
all right. Thank you guys for some foreshadowing for next week. We're now going to pass the seventh tradition basket. The seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their inner group, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, which is to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Alrighty. At this time, are there any AA-related announcements?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
This is my home group, AA101, that meets at Norfolk General Hospital on Sundays at 11. We're having our half anniversary on the 24th of June. Starts at 10, and then we'll have a panel of speakers starting at 11.
Thank you. Anybody else? Jenny?
Hi, my name is Jenny Apple.
Jim.
Veterans Disabled Home down in Virginia Beach is now holding meetings. They just opened up the door about a month ago. Anybody would like to come down there and join me to hold a meeting? We can use whatever help I can get. Men, women, there are both. The people that are in their housing are all disabled veterans, and they could use a lot of help. And anybody who's willing to be of service to help me with them, I really appreciate it. I have all the information. The meeting's on Thursdays at 6 p.m. And if you'd like to address it, please see me. And I'd be glad to give it to you.
Thanks. Anybody else? Alrighty. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hands.
Wow.
Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would love to welcome you.
Lord, Michael, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Michael.
My name's Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm Josh, an alcoholic.
Hi, Josh.
Welcome.
Anybody else? All right, glad to have you guys. We have literature for sale at that table over there. Pamphlets are free. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you'd like to buy a book. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to me. Reminders: smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. Also, all of our meetings and audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, which is also listed over there at simpleactions.net. In closing, could we thank our wonderful panel? Thanks to all who participated. Normally, after this meeting, we go to Plaza del Sol down the road for dinner, but unfortunately, they're closed tonight, so we're not going to be doing that. I'm sorry. Happy Memorial Day. Beth will volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on 164. David.
Hi, everybody. I'm an alcoholic. My name's David.
Hi, David.
My book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Those who would like to join us, we're going to play with the Lord's Prayer.
The power and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.